direction. And that's really where we're heading this autumn, to really think about where God is calling us to be and to go as a church. This vision of a church without walls, with mission at its heart. So we're going to look at these just first few verses from the book of third chapter, book of Joshua, and just ask, what does that mean? How do we get to become that church without walls, that mission focused church? How do we do it? What do we need to be? And that's what we're going to be looking at, and we have been looking at just for the first few weeks of this month. And then at the end of this month, the leadership team are going to come out front, and we're going to have a kind of a commissioning service where, as God's people, we say, right, we're going to head for this together. We're going to commit ourselves to this vision, and we're going to go for it. And that's a very biblical thing, and something that I think God honours and empowers. And then we're going to look up until Christmas at what that means by focusing on Jesus, who surely is what it means to be church without walls. Jesus, the crosser of boundaries, the breaker down of walls. So that's just in a nutshell, where we're heading as a church, just so everybody knows what we're doing. Because it's a good thing to know where you're going, because if you don't, it's tricky to get there, isn't it? Let me reread those first five verses of chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went down to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So this morning, once again, we join the people of God on the wrong side of the river, looking over at the place of blessing that God has for them, knowing that first time round, the previous generation had failed to cross. What would they need to be to do in order to make sure that that didn't happen this time round, that they actually got across? Let's pray, shall we, and ask the Lord to come and bless his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you do have a plan and a purpose for your people, a vision and a direction that you want Alma to go for you. We just pray, Lord, that as we continue to look at this passage, you might show us, as your people here, what we need to do, what we need to be like in order to enter into that place that you have for us. Come, Lord, lead us by your Holy Spirit through your word this morning. Amen. Last week, we looked at being a spiritual people. They needed to be a spiritual people in order to get across the river into that promised land, that place of blessing. What was that? It was, well, being a spiritual person is seeing where the Lord is leading and then following. Seeing what the Lord is doing and then joining in with that. That's what it means to be a spiritual person. This morning we're going to look at what it needs to be a prepared people. A prepared people. Joshua tells the people to consecrate themselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. That word consecrate comes from the Hebrew word. It's got the same root as the Hebrew word, which means holy. So we're looking at holiness. What does it mean to be holy, to be a prepared people? Now, some of you know that we are caravanners, our family, and last year we dragged our caravan down to the south of France, which meant that this year we could all bundle down there and have our summer holidays. Now, the owner of the campsite had produced fancy brochures this year for the season. He sent us one, Le Cadenier. That's where we keep our caravan. It's really nice and very sort of glossy. It's got a lovely swimming pool complex on the front of this brochure. And when he sent us that, we sort of clinged onto it as we went down the 9-hour grueling car journey down sort of crammed French roads and humid, hot temperatures. And, you know, we looked at this brochure as we went down there and think, yeah, it's not nice in the car, but where we're going is great. Great advert for what was going to come our way. But let me tell you something. It may look really good, the swimming pool on the front of this, but it fades into insignificance when you actually get there and jump into the real thing. I just wonder what a brochure for heaven would look like. Maybe it would look something like Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. That's some brochure for where we're heading, isn't it? Wow! My friends, that's where we're heading. And believe me, those words will fade into insignificance compared to the reality of when we actually get there with the Lord. To be with God with nothing in the way, no sin, no effects of sin. A holy people living in a holy place. That's where we're going. But where does that leave us now? What about now? What about being in a holy place now? Is it possible? Well, that's what we're going to be considering this morning. Holiness, what does it mean now? How can I be holy now? One, what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be holy? I'm going to suggest that the place where people often start, where they come to think and talk about holiness, is perhaps the wrong place. You see, for many it seems that holiness, it's about me and about what I do. He's a holy Joe. A holy person is someone who doesn't do things like that. No, they do things like this. That's what makes someone holy. About me and about what I do. About our spiritual performance. Well, I'm going to start by saying I don't believe that's the place to start. I don't believe that's the place to start. Let's just go back for a moment and join Moses at the burning bush.
In Exodus chapter 3, it says this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush doesn't burn up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses! And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. The place where Moses was standing is described as holy ground. Now I'm going to suggest to you that in terms of the soil composition, it was no different to the piece of ground next to it that wasn't holy. Or the piece of ground 500 yards away that was the same dirt but wasn't holy. The only reason why the piece of ground upon which Moses was standing was holy, the only reason was because the Lord was there. And that's where I think we have to start. Only God is holy. God alone is holy. And things, places and people are only holy in so far as they are linked to him. Revelation 15:4, for you alone are holy. We can only be holy by association. It's really important that we get this. The actual word used for holy is the Hebrew word kadesh, which means separate or set apart. That's what the word holy means. It means separate. It means set apart. And God is different. And it's his presence that sets a person or a thing apart. His presence changes it by association. Now let's look at a verse from Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. It says this. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. And I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. Can you see how that wraps these ideas up in that verse? Can you see it? You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. He is the source of holiness. We become holy only in association with him. And that's not just Old Testament stuff. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says this, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Thinking now through that, each one of us, as individual stones, come close to him, are joined to him, the living stone. We become part of who he is and what he's doing, and we become a holy priesthood. Set apart from the world to be joined to him. We become holy by association. So that's got to be, has to be, our starting point this morning. As we come to look together at holiness, only God is holy. Let's just say that together. Okay? Only God is holy. You ready? Only God is holy. That could save you from a lifetime of condemnation. We'll unpack that. Because what does that now mean, then, for our lives as Christians? If only God is holy, how does that unpack? Can we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16, if we could, please. Let me read that to you. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy. Now, you've probably recognized that that's quoting from the verse from Leviticus that we read out a bit earlier on. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. So what does that mean? Be holy because I am holy. Does it mean, because I am holy, you can be holy? Does it mean that? Or does it mean, because I am holy, you must try to be holy? Can you see the two ways of taking that? Be holy because I am holy. Does it mean, because God's holy, I can be holy? Or does it mean, because God's holy, I ought to be holy? How do we take that? Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, that's just a bit earlier in the same passage from Leviticus, says this: consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Can you see there's a mix there? But in that mix, the starting place is, he is holy. God alone is holy. And I can only be holy insofar as I'm associated with him. I'm going to now look at holiness under two headings. Positional holiness and progressive holiness. Positional holiness and progressive holiness. In the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 5, it says this: but you know that he, Jesus, appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Let's just do a theology checker here. In him there is no sin. Who is the him? Is there any sin in Christ? Are you sure? Let me just ask you again. Is there any sin in Christ? Right, we agreed on that. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. We agree with that verse? God alone is holy. There is no sin in him. As Christians, where are we? In him. Are we agreed on this? God alone is holy. In him there is no sin. As Christians, we are in him. We are hidden in his holiness. We are clothed with his righteousness. That, my friends, is positional holiness. Get it? You are holy because he is holy and you are in him. Okay? Positional holiness. But what about when I did that the other day? Ah, that's why it says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are... But I don't feel holy. It's interesting going abroad for your holidays when you get a time difference. In France, it's 1 hour ahead. I don't know if it's just me who does this, but you know, if it's sort of, I sometimes keep my clock the same as it is in England, and so it's kind of 9 o'clock in France, and I think, yeah, but it's really 8 o'clock, so I can lay in bed. But it doesn't work when you get to a hotel and the breakfast stops being served at 10. Because it's 10 o'clock in France, I'm looking at my watch, I'm saying, yeah, but it's really only 9 o'clock, so I can lay in another hour. But then I do that and go to breakfast and it stops served. No, once I entered into France, the time really was 1 hour ahead. And I can't then continue to live in the old time economy of England that it's 1 hour behind. It doesn't work. It really is 1 hour ahead because I've entered into that time zone, into that economy. And when we became Christians in the same way, something actually happened. Something really changed. Because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me, because of who he is, we were really made holy. That's why we don't need to do all those symbolic rituals that the people at the time of Joshua had to do. They were but a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do for us on the cross. The ultimate and final sacrifice to remove our sins. It's been done. So we need to believe it. And we need to stand on that truth and not live our lives under condemnation. The time zone's changed, guys. Something's really happened. The economy has changed. If you're in him, you're a new creation. It's changed. You don't have to live your life in guilt and condemnation. And you know, so many Christians that I've spoken to over the last quarter of a century have said to me, I just feel so condemned and guilty. They're doing that. They're not living in the actual reality of where they now are. If you feel guilty and condemned, don't. Stop it. Because you don't have to. Because you're in him. You are holy because he is holy. So now I want to ask the question that I asked half an hour ago, just after we as the people of God came before him and asked him to take away our sins. I asked you if you were now holy and you weren't sure. Can I just check that this is going in? Because this is for life, not just for today. Who here is holy? That's right. Because you're in him. And it's not down to your performance. Great. Okay, we've got there. That is positional holiness. You're all with me. You're all there. Progressive holiness. Does that mean that after the service you can nick the collection, push your way to the front of the coffee queue and scoff all the chocolate biscuits? That's why I said at the beginning of the service, you might get a chocolate biscuit if you're lucky. Now this is probably going to upset Dave, especially with the collection. But yes, I've thought about it, and I think you can. I think you can nick the collection. I think you can kick everyone out of the way, go to the front of the coffee shop and scoff all the chocolate biscuits. Do you know, I think you can. I think you can, because I think that his grace is sufficient for believers who willfully commit sins. And who could throw the first stone if you did all that? The person who could throw the first stone with integrity, if you did all that, is the person who is saying, I never willfully commit sin. So I couldn't throw it. Let's get back to the letter of John. 1 John 3:4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. That's all we've been. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or knows him. Wait a minute, Bob. Hang on a minute. You just said that holiness is in association with God, who alone is holy. But in him there is no sin. If I am in him, I'm hidden in his holiness, covered by his righteousness, so he sees no sin in me. Now you're saying, no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Actually, it's not me, it's the Bible that's saying this. Well, yes. We're on a journey. We're on a journey, and we're heading for that heavenly brochure that we read out at the beginning of the service. Okay, we're on a journey there. We're on a journey to the holy city in heaven, where all is holy, because everything is joined with God. We're on a journey where we are in Christ. We are in Christ, but also Christ is in us. He dwells in us through his Holy Spirit. So you see, it's like this. We're kind of changed from the outside in and from the inside out. We're covered by God's holiness. And in the inside, he's doing a transforming work in each and every one of us that makes us more like him, as it says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I need to get a t-shirt that says, work in progress. I'm a work in progress. But I'm a work in progress in Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God to sanctify us, to bring our thoughts, our words, our attitudes, our actions in line with what the Lord wants. And we're on a lifelong process. But it's worth it, because actually what it does is give us a taste of heaven on earth. A taste of being that person that God made us to be. We can't truly be in him and have his Holy Spirit living in us without gradually being transformed. It's impossible. Can't happen, can it? If we're in him and the Holy God is living in us, we're going to get changed from the inside out. And that's what that means. That is progressive holiness. So where do we go from here? And I'm coming to an end with this. Two things. Firstly, there is something to believe. Believe you are in him, so you are holy. Believe it. Stand on it. Be secure in it. And don't continue to live your life under guilt and condemnation. You really changed when you became in Christ. Firstly, there is something to believe. Secondly, there is something to do. Lord, shine the spotlight, the searchlight of your Holy Spirit in my life and show me where the areas of darkness are. That's what I would call a quick response prayer. You pray that. You don't have to wait long. Something to do. In his strength, allow him to change you. Belief and action. Holiness, it's both. But the starting point is that only he is holy. So Joshua tells the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do an amazing thing among you. My friends, let us be a prepared people, knowing who we are in Christ and allowing Christ to transform us by his Spirit inside. Let us be a prepared people, ready for the Lord to move in our midst. Because I believe that he's going to do an amazing thing. Let's pray, shall we?